past performance is not indicative of future results. Statements such as and similar to, we told our clients to be out of the market in 2007 and 2008. We told our clients to get back into the market in 2009, and clients that followed our advice were out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations collectively made by Retirement Planners of America's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC and also at Cambridge Investment Research, Inc. Three out of the five of those principals remain with RPOA today. Statements about similar recommendations we made starting in 2011 refer to an Invest and Protect strategy that RPOA has been using since its inception in 2011. The Invest and Protect strategy is not guaranteed and is subject to the risk described at the end of this broadcast. Unless otherwise stated, references to the market refer to the S&P 500 index. Index performance described does not reflect the deduction of transaction, management, or other fees, which would decrease the performance results. Investors cannot invest directly in an index.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny. And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of retirement planning. We talk about inflation, we talk about taxes, Social Security, the stock market, your 401k, diversification, estate planning, you name it, we talk about it, and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week's no exception because we have a show that is full of boring financial stuff. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Yes, thank you, Jack. And I am senior retirement planner and founder of Retirement Planners of America. And I do. I feel great. And as our firm name implies, we work primarily with people who are over 50, who are retired, retiring soon. So if that is you, then you are who we have built our website, our business, this show. Everything is geared around helping you to achieve what we call your second childhood without parental supervision. We want you to go play. We want you to have fun. We want you to relax. We want your money to last as long as you do. We want you to have financial peace of mind. All of that is what we're about. Our website is rpoa.com, and if you go there, you can podcast this show. I encourage you to subscribe to it and listen to it every week. We also, you can subscribe to our market alert video, and that's free for those of you who are over 50. Gives you our latest thinking on what's going on and what we think is going to happen and all of that. And then also what you can do is you can avail yourself of videos and articles and all kinds of seminars and content. Lots of good stuff for you on our website. It's rpoa.com. I encourage you to go there and avail yourself of all of that. Okay, well, let's talk about what we are going to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of retirement planning. So first of all, as you may have noticed, we had some very, very big news this week, two big data points. The first one, of course, was the Federal Reserve and what they decided to do with interest rates, and more importantly, what they said they're going to do in the future. But then also we got the numbers on the economy, the GDP, the gross domestic product, which basically is the sum total of all the services and all the goods that are produced in our country. And both of those things put together created what I am entitling in our first segment, The Economy is Strong. Is that good or bad? You know, sometimes good news is bad news. And so we'll be talking about that in our first segment. Now, also this week, want to talk about with you, what is the most important number you need to know for your retirement planning? Okay, when it comes to your retirement plan, what's the most important number you need to know? And we hinted at it last week. And so this week we're going to go into detail with you so that you can know what that number is. You don't want to be without knowing. That would be bad, very bad. And of course, as we do every week, we are going to have strategies to maximize your Social Security benefits. You know, it is a very, very complex thing to decide when and how to take Social Security. And we want to help you to be an educated person so that you can make the best decision possible. So we're going to have our strategies on maximizing Social Security. Now, also, I want to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen, and I'll let you kind of noodle on it, and we'll talk about it in the fourth segment this week. But here's the question. Bad investors think of ways to make money, okay? Bad investors think of ways to make money. What should you do? Sounds like a trick question, doesn't it? Well, we'll have the answer for you later on in the show. And we think that it is probably the answer to that question could be the difference between your money lasting as long as you do, which is our goal, and not having enough to support the lifestyle that you want for the rest of your life. So I think it's a pretty important segment, so you don't want to miss it. In fact, you know, Jack, most shows would actually stop right there. I mean, we look at what we're talking about this week. Most shows would say, hey, if we did just that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show. But on this show, do we stop right there? Of course we don't. Oh my goodness, no. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before, and therefore at about 10 till, we will have our estate tip of the week. Now, that's the part of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And this week, we're going to talk about the irrevocable trust versus the revocable trust. And we're going to talk about what the difference there is, because I know that you've been laying awake at night thinking, oh my gosh, I can't sleep. I have to know what the difference between a revocable and an irrevocable trust is. And we're going to help you with that. We're going to get you some sleep. And not only that, but when you go to the next cocktail party, you'll be able to amaze your friends with how knowledgeable you are about the differences between those two trusts. But it is important to know it because it's part of estate planning. And if you want to do it right, you need to be knowledgeable about those things in our view. So we have a fantastic show lined up for you. And I know that you won't go anywhere for the entire program. But you know, I got to say something about all this heat. OMG. You know, I mean, I prefer to be hot than to be cold. Okay, I'm a tennis player. I would rather play tennis in 100 degree heat than in, you know, 4 degrees below zero. I would rather be hot than cold. But you know, there's a certain point where maybe it gets ridiculous. You know what I mean? And this heat, oh my gosh, I hope that you are listening to this show in a cool place. But we broadcast this show. It originates out of Texas, and man, we've been having 100 degree heat almost every day now. Gosh, it's just incessant. Anyway, let's talk about the economy is strong. Is that good or bad? So let's go over the stuff that where the economy is strong. We just got the numbers on the gross domestic product, the GDP, which is essentially, you know, the all the products and services that the U.S. economy produces, and it was very strong. So it means that, you know, companies are making stuff and they're providing services and consumers are buying, and that's all great. And then the other part was wages are strong. You know, people are getting what they want in terms of their wages for the most part. The employment number looks strong. Is, you know, the employment rate is unemployment rate is very low. So those are all presumably really good things, right? You want that. Well, the problem with it, of course, is that the Federal Reserve is trying to get inflation down. And so what they just did is they raised interest rates by another 0.25%. So this is unprecedented. We've never had the Federal Reserve raise interest rates that much that fast. And so that's the concern. And so as we've been saying, you know, we've been doing our fearless forecast with regard to inflation throughout this year, and we've been remarkably accurate, if I do say so myself, and I do. We said that the inflation rate would get down, you know, around 3% in June, and sure enough, it did. But now we think inflation is going to start heading back up again, and we wouldn't be surprised to see it around 4%. By the end of this year. So what does that mean? It means the Fed's going to have to raise interest rates more, because after all the stuff they've done, the economy is still roaring, employment is still high, and you have wages at very high, and that's all inflationary. So the concern is that the Federal Reserve is going to have to raise interest rates more than what people think now to combat all of this. And then will the result be that they cause some damage, that they break something, they cause the economy to go into a terrible recession? So there's one area that there are two areas that are very negatively impacted by what the Federal Reserve is doing that could cause a big drop in the economy and therefore the stock market and our investments. And those two areas are small businesses and commercial real estate. We've talked about the commercial real estate market in previous shows, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but it is a giant problem. I mean, trillions. And it could come home to roost in a really bad way when all these big loans that these companies have are renegotiated or re-upped at a much higher rate. So that's a potential big time bomb we have there. But the other one is small businesses. And, you know, small businesses represent 60% of our economy. And these small businesses are hurting. They have to borrow money now at 8%. It's very, very expensive. And they may not be able to survive this. And that could be a coming wave of bad stuff that could be the result of the Fed having raised interest rates so much. So, you know, we'll have to see where all this goes. Now, between now and the end of the year, our view is that the market, the S&P 500 index, as we've been saying, it'll be higher at the end of this year than it is today, but it's going to be very bumpy when the market comes to the realization that inflation is going back up, which we think will happen. And so we think you need to fasten your seatbelt, but things should be okay. Now, having said that, we don't have a crystal ball. And it is possible that the lagging effect of the Federal Reserve and all these interest rates that they've been raising is going to cause a severe damage to the economy. It's very possible. We don't know yet. There's about a year lag between the time that the Fed raises interest rates and the economy feels it. So there's a lot of lag that still hasn't played through. And so we believe that, yes, things may look good and may go in the right way, but we don't know that. So we need to plan for the worst. We need to plan for what happens if it goes way down. And what we do is we have a strategy we call invest and protect, which means that we think, yes, you should buy. Yes, you should hold, but we also think you should sell. And that's contrary to the buy hold philosophy. We don't believe in that at all, which is why we sold in November of 2007 before the big market crash of 08. It's why we sold in April of last year before the big crash of last year. So we want to protect our clients from bad things. So go to our website and learn more. Our website is rpoa.com. When you're there, you can learn about our strategy. You can attend seminars. You can watch videos, you can podcast the show, tons of resources available to you there. So go there right now, rpoa.com. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is the most important number you need to know for retirement planning. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And I am founder and CEO of Retirement Planners of America. And we are a firm that specializes in the most wonderful thing, I think, in the world. And that is to facilitate people's second childhood without parental supervision. Yes, indeedy. We want you to go play and have fun and enjoy your retirement. And, you know, the 5 years before you retire, the 5 years after you retire, that decade, the single most important decade in your entire financial life, in our view. And we want to help you get through that decade and have your money last as long as you do. Have you sleep at night with peace of mind. We want all of that for you. Our website is rpoa.com. If you go there, you can attend our virtual seminars. You can meet with a retirement planner. You can podcast this show. We have videos. We have all kinds of stuff there. So please go there and have a great time. It's rpoa.com. All right. I want to talk with you in this segment about what is the most important number you need to know for retirement planning. So let me ask you, what do you think that number is? Now, normally when I ask that question, most people say, well, it's, you know, how much money I need to be able to retire on. That's the one, okay? And we actually call that number your magic number. But no, your magic number is not the most important number. Then they say, well, maybe it's, how much income I have or how much. So I'm going to cut to the chase and ask you another question. Is $1 million enough to retire on? Is it or not? What do you think? Now, most of you would say, yeah, but I will say it depends. What does it depend on? It depends on your expenses. That's the most important number that you need to know for your retirement planning. Let me explain. Let's say that you do have $1 million, okay? So you're fortunate enough to have a one with six zeros after it in your retirement savings. That's great. However, let's say that your expenses are $150,000 a year. Well, $1 million will last about 8 years if you're taking $150,000 out. So therefore, that $1 million is not enough for you to retire on if you have that kind of a cost of living. Now, on the other hand, let's say that you have Social Security and you have other sources of income, and all you need to draw from your investments is $30,000 a year. Well, that would be 3% of 1 million. Guess what? You have more than enough to retire on, in our view. So how is $1 million enough to retire on? I can't tell you that. I don't know. It all depends on how much you need to draw from your money to support the lifestyle that you want. And you know, yes. And you know, our philosophy with our clients is that happiness is a positive cash flow. So the amount that you're going to draw from your investments is going to be determined by the difference between how much you have in income and how much your expenses are. So one of the exercises that we go through with brand new clients, and then we do it ongoingly with existing clients, is we always want to know what are all the sources of income. So hopefully you have Social Security, but you may also have a pension. You may have some real estate that generates income. You know, I actually have clients that get gifts from family members every year, and they count that as part of their income. All of those sources of income, we want to know what those are. Then what we want to do is we want to look at all the sources of expenses. And, you know, when sometimes it's funny because I ask people, you know, what's your cost of living? And they go, $2,500 a month. And I'm like, okay, no. That's not your cost of living. Yeah, it is. Okay, well, what are you including in that? Well, I'm including groceries, utilities, and my mortgage and gas or something like that. And I'm like, well, what about, are you going to travel at all? Well, yeah. Did you include that number? No. Okay, what about, do you go out to eat? Yes. Did you include that number? No. What about annually when you get like your property taxes and your insurance for your car and that kind of thing? Did you count that in that? No. Okay. And then what about the gifts that you make to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs? Do you give them Christmas presents? Do you take them on family vacations? Do you do stuff with them? Yeah, we do that. Did you include that in your cost of living? No, we didn't. So when you look at what your cost of living is, we want you to include everything you spend money on except for your income taxes. And the reason why is because your income taxes will be determined by the amount of money you're going to take from your investments, where you're going to take those from. So for example, if you take it from an IRA, then it's all taxable. If you take it from a bank account, then probably there's no tax. So depending on where you draw your money from, your taxes will be determined. So we just want to know the raw number. What is the just your cost of living? Everything you spend money on except for income taxes, because we'll calculate that one separately. Now, once we know what that number is, and once we know what your income sources are, if you're like most of our clients, there's more expenses than there are steady sources of income like Social Security. That difference has to come, therefore, from your investments. That number there is the number that we need to know, because now we know that number, then we can say, okay, is that $1 million that you got enough to support that number? And then we can back into how much risk you need to take, what sort of investments are appropriate for you. All of that flows from that. But the first thing we need to do is figure out what is the differential between your income and your expenses. What is that net cash flow? Once we know that, boy, howdy, that just opens up an entire universe of planning. And it's fun, and we enjoy doing it. Love nothing better. So if you're over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, let us do something we love for you, and we'll do it at no charge or obligation. So if you go to our website, rpoa.com, and click on Meet with an Advisor, what we'll do is we'll schedule a time to visit with you, and we'll build that whole plan with you. There's some work involved. It's a great exercise. I've had many people tell me, you know, you got to get organized, and it's the best thing possible to be organized in our view when it comes to your finances. So we'll force you into being organized. We'll help build you that plan, and we'll do it all at no charge or obligation. So our website again is rpoa.com, and click on Meet with an Advisor. Now, let me just tell you something. You can do it virtually.
Oh, thank you, Master.
Oh, you're welcome, Jeannie. So let me tell you something. You can have that visit with our retirement planner virtually, okay? From the comfort of your home, we'll do it over, you know, Zoom or Teams or whatever. No problem. However, if you do that, you will be missing out on something very important, because if you come in person to do it in person, we will have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. And folks, let me tell you something. These cookies are half an inch thick. They are 6 inches in diameter. They are a meal in and of themselves. And we make them with those real chocolate, okay? We don't make them with chocolate chips, because that's paraffin. It's wax. It's gross. You don't want to eat paraffin. Yuck. You want real chocolate that forms its own shape, that is all melted, and the cookie smell envelops you, and you go to cookie heaven, and you get a retirement plan in the process. So go to our website. It's rpoa.com and avail yourself of that. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about 4 strategies for people who have already started Social Security. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And you know, on this show, we try to rain down upon you great retirement planning ideas. Our goal is for you to have financial peace of mind. Our goal is for your money to last as long as you do. And you know, as we always say, we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor. And of course, that is our goal. And this is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And I am the founder and CEO of Retirement Planners of America, and we are a firm that specializes in retirement planning. So our goal is the things that I just mentioned. We want you to enjoy your retirement. We call it your second childhood without parental supervision. And whatever that means to you, we want to facilitate that and hopefully help you to make it happen. And if we can do that, we think we've done something very noble. And so we love doing it, and our website is rpoa.com. And if you go there, you can podcast this show, you can watch videos, attend seminars, read articles. We have tons and tons of resources available to you to help with all of the above. Yes, no, Gomer is not there, but we do have some sound effects for you if you want them as well. So this is the part of the show where we talk about Social Security. And you know, in the past, we've spent most of our time talking about how to maximize your Social Security benefits from the standpoint of you haven't started yet, you're making the decisions, and so you want to take into account this and that and a third and a fourth, and so that's normally where we go. But this week, I want to kind of look at people who have already started Social Security. So if that's you, I'm going to go over with you 4 strategies, 4 things that you should think about if you've already started Social Security. And so I want to tell you what we do with clients that we have already that have already started Social Security. Okay, so the first thing is we want to look at their benefits to see if they make sense. Okay, so is the lower earning spouse receiving a very low benefit, which suggests that they never filed for spousal benefit? Okay, also, has the client's marital status changed so that, you know, they might now be eligible for divorced spouse benefit or divorced spouse survivor benefit that is higher than the current benefit that you're getting now? So the first thing we want to do is look at the benefits you're getting now, and do they make sense? The second thing is, if you're under your full retirement age and you think that you can keep your earned income down, then the question I would say to you, or the, what I would suggest to you, is don't be afraid to go to work, okay? Because it is true that they take back $1 for every $2 you earn over the earnings threshold, but there's a kind of a misunderstanding about that. Those dollars are not lost forever, Okay, they're not truly lost, because when you do reach your full retirement age, the benefit will be recomputed to account for the months in which you did not receive a check. Okay, so this is not a reason for working people who are under your full retirement age to apply early, because the full actuarial reduction cannot be made up. Okay, so when appropriate, we encourage people to work for an extra measure of financial security. And also, if you did file before your full retirement age, we advise them that maybe you want to suspend your benefits, okay? And so that their benefits, so your benefits can increase by 8% per year. So the other thing that we look at is we want to minimize taxes on the benefits that you're getting from Social Security, because as I mentioned above, there are taxes and there is also the clawback if you're collecting Social Security. And so what we want to do is minimize the taxes and the clawback. And the way you do that is you coordinate your IRA withdrawals and other income. And one way to minimize your taxes, when we talk to clients, is to pay down debt and reduce your living expenses so you won't need a lot of taxable income when you're drawing your Social Security. And then the final thing is use Social Security as kind of an entree to your estate planning. Because one of the things about Social Security is that upon your death, your spouse has the choice of getting theirs or yours, whichever is the higher. So it's kind of a first step into the whole land of estate planning and planning for, you know, what happens if you go first or they go first or all of that. So those are some things for those of you who have already started getting Social Security to think about. Now,
very interesting.
Indeedy it is. You know what that's from? Does anybody know what that's from? That's from Laugh-In. Does anybody remember Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In? Oh boy, I do. I used to enjoy that show. Anyway, so if you are already getting Social Security, or you are thinking about which is the best way to do it and you're trying to navigate through all of that, what I would recommend to you is you go to our website. We have tons of information on there about when and how to take Social Security, or if you're already taking it, what are the ideas and strategies that you should do in our view. You can also take it one step further and visit with one of our retirement planners. We train them and certify them once a year on Social Security. We want them to be as knowledgeable as possible so that when you talk to them, they have a working knowledge. They can guide you through all the complexities and help you to make the right decisions and maximize Social Security. You paid into the system all your life. You don't want to leave tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table. That just, in my view, would not be very smart. And so we want to help you to do that. So our website is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. Watch videos, attend seminars, visit with a retirement planner. It's all there for you. So rpoa.com is our website. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about bad investors think of ways to make money. What should you do? So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. And we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. And I am founder and CEO of Retirement Planners of America, and we are a firm that specializes in, I think, one of the most noble endeavors that I can think of, and that is to facilitate people's retirement. We specialize in retirement planning. Our goal is for you to have financial peace of mind. We want you not to worry about all this boring financial stuff. We want to take care of it for you. We want your money to last as long as you do. And as we've said many times, we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor. There's a huge, huge difference there. And I think if you are who we want to work with, I think you understand exactly what I'm talking about. Our website is rpoa.com. And if you go there, you can podcast this show. You can watch videos, read articles. There's tons of stuff there for you, all designed to facilitate your second childhood without parental supervision. And that's what we call your retirement. So whatever that is, we want to make it happen for you if we can. And our website again is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. Now, this segment, I want to ask you a question and see what you think. Okay, so bad investors think of ways to make money. What should you do? So just by virtue of the way I phrased that question, I think you probably get the answer. But that's correct. Bad investors spend their time on thinking about how to make money. Good investors, in our view, think about ways not to lose money. And so our
You're a persistent cuss, Pilgrim.
I am, Duke, very. In our foundational, we have what we call investment principles, and we have 10 of them. They're kind of like the 10 commandments of our investing. And the one that is number one on there is that growth is important, but protection of principal is even more important, which is another way of saying that bad investors think about what they want to grow, and good investors think of ways not to lose money, protecting your principal. And if you're within 5 years of your retirement, or you are in the first 5 years of your retirement, there is a risk that you have that is called sequential risk. Look it up, Google it, but what you'll find is sequential risk means when do you experience a large loss? And if you experience a large loss, and a lot of time, you know, if you ask somebody, when would you rather experience a loss of your money? When you're 60 or when you're 75? Most people would say, you know, I'd rather when I'm 60 so I have time to build it back up again. Well, that's wrong. And the reason why it's wrong is because if you are retired and you're drawing from your money and you take a big loss, then what happens is you're still drawing your money, but your money is worth less. So the percentage that you're taking out to cover your cost of living becomes more. Okay, if you had $1 million and you were taking out $40,000, that's 4%. If your $1 million loses half its value, it's now $500,000, and you're still taking that $40,000 out, you're now taking 8%. You just doubled the percentage you're taking out.
So Houston, we have a problem.
That is true. That would be a problem. 8% is a large drawdown. So how do you not be a bad investor in our view? Well, I have some things for you, as you might expect. First of all, don't take too much risk, okay? Know how much risk is appropriate for you. And we have a investment principle that says take only as much risk as is appropriate to accomplish your financial goals and no more. Also, use information, do your homework, and make sure that you're not validating your bias, okay? One of the things that causes people to go after something is because they think that it's going to go up to the sky. Cryptocurrency, when it was all popular, people, every time there was any news that validated their thought that crypto is going to go up to the sky, they read that, and anything that didn't say that, they ignored it because I don't want to hear that. You know, I've got a bias. Okay. The other thing is make sure you put your greed and your fear in check. Don't make emotional investment decisions. This is business. It's the business of managing your retirement. You need to be objective. You need to be cold-blooded. You need to be rational. This is business. You're managing your retirement, your business life for the rest of your life. The other thing, as we said and as we do, is it's important to have, in our view, a protection strategy. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, we don't think that buy and hold is a complete strategy. Now, we do believe you should buy quality investments, you know, and all of that. That's certainly something we think you should do. The holding part is the diversification, the pruning of the tree, if you have investments that aren't doing well or that have changed or whatever. So you kind of take care of the holding part. But we believe there's a third component, a third leg to the stool. And that is that you need to also have a sell strategy in our view. Okay? And that's why we do. We have a buy, we have a hold, but we also have a sell strategy. This is the strategy that told us to tell our clients to sell in November of 2007, before the big market crash of 2008. It told us to sell early in 2020, before the pandemic crash. It told us to sell in April of last year. And guess what happened after that? I'm sure many of you remember last year. It's pretty vividly in your memory, I'm sure. So we want to protect principal first. Yes, growth is important, but protection of principal is even more important. And that's why we believe that. Now, if you are over 50, if you are retired or retiring soon, then I encourage you to go to our website, because if you're within that 5 years of retirement or the 5 years after you've retired, if you're in that decade, we think it is the single most important decade of your entire financial life, because you may have spent the last 20, 30 years accumulating money and doing saving and scrimping and putting money in your 401k. You've done all that, and then you lose half your money a month before you retire or a month after you retire in a big bad bear like 2008 or Y2K or many of the others. That would be tragic. So protecting your principal is super important in our view. So if you go to our website, it's rpoa.com. You have lots of options there. You can attend our seminars. They're virtual and they're free if you're over 50. We have, you can podcast this show, of course. You can subscribe to my weekly market alert video and get that weekly every Friday. We put it out. Also, what you can do is visit with one of our retirement planners and they'll build for you a retirement plan that incorporates saving you on income taxes, deciding if you have enough money to retire on, when and how to take Social Security, where do you get your income from? Is your money going to last as long as you do? We want to answer all those questions for you, and we want to do it at no charge or obligation. And if we can help you, fantastic. And if not, that's fine too. Either way, we will part friends.
Cool.
It is very cool. So avail yourself of all of that. Our website, again, is rpoa.com, retirementplannersofamerica.com. All right, we are going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have our estate tip of the week. And this week, we're going to answer the difference between revocable and irrevocable trusts so that you can have the answer. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host. You jumped the gun there, Jack. I was about to say your host, Ken Morafe, and that's when the applause is supposed to happen. Let's do it again. Yeah, okay, all right, never mind. Yeah, one thing about me is that I have no ego. I do not require any attention. I do not require applause. No, I don't. But if it's not there, the show will not go on. So maybe I do. I'm so confused. You know what? I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I am a Dallas Cowboys fan. So this year has been a huge disappointment. And with the Super Bowl, if you're a Cowboys fan, you are not an Eagles fan. Okay, and vice versa. And the two do not vibe, as they say. And so, I'm normally an NFC fan, regardless, because the Cowboys are in the NFC. But boy, is it going to be hard to be an Eagles fan for this one. I think I may root for the Kansas City Chiefs, even though I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl. Anyway, this is the part of the show where we talk about estate planning. This is where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. And that, of course, is called estate planning. And one of the most important constructs or tools, I guess, that you can use when it comes to estate planning are trusts, okay? And there are different kinds of trusts. But the two main categories of trusts are what are called revocable trusts and irrevocable trusts. And so I want to go over with you this week the difference between the two, because I know you've been staying up at night. You can't get to sleep. You're worried about, gosh, I don't know the difference between those two. Ken, can you help me to get a night's sleep? And my answer is, that's what I'm here for. So, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches and, the estate taxes, probate, all that kind of stuff. It's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags, and we do not want that to happen to you. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So this week, we're going to talk about the difference between revocable and irrevocable trusts. Okay, so as the name implies, revocable means you can revoke it. You can change it. You can do anything you want to it anytime you wish. Irrevocable means, and this is very, you need to understand this because a lot of people are intimidated by, oh my gosh, I'm going to create an irrevocable trust. Irrevocable means you cannot change the words of the trust. Okay, you cannot change the words of the trust. Now, if the words of the trust give you flexibility, then you can use the flexibility that the words give you. So the fact that there's this intimidating irrevocable, which sounds like, oh my gosh, I can never change it. If you plan in advance properly, you can build flexibility into that irrevocability. And then what happens is you may still have some revocable options for you. So that's the first kind of thing to think about, okay? So there's the revocable versus irrevocable. Now, the other things that make them different is that a revocable trust, meaning one that you can change at any time you want, is in your estate. And what that means is that upon your death, it's counted as part of your estate. And if it's a revocable trust, most likely what happens is that it doesn't save you any income taxes. It doesn't save you on any liabilities from lawsuits or bankruptcy or divorce or anything like that. Basically, if it's a revocable trust, it's most likely an organizational type of trust, meaning you want to organize your life and have everything in order so that upon your death, it's all taken care of, right? And that would be a living trust, as many of you know. Those are revocable trusts. So they are subject to lawsuits. They're subject to income taxes. They're subject to estate taxes. They're in your estate if it's revocable. So why have it? Most likely it's because you want to be organized for your heirs. You want to avoid probate. Now, irrevocable, usually those are out of your estate, right? You've given the money or the asset, you put them into that trust, it's outside of your estate. So upon your death, most likely there will be no estate taxes. The other thing
that would have been impressive.
And that's the main reason, yeah, why people do that. The other reason is that it protects from lawsuits, it protects from bankruptcy, divorce. So there's reasons to do that. It's protected. And also, it pays its own tax. So irrevocable trust has to have its own tax ID number. It pays its own taxes. And you have a separate tax return that you have to file for that. So which one's better for you? I have no idea. I've never met you before. So let's change that. Go to our website. It's rpoa.com. And if you go there, you can click on Meet with an Advisor. Certainly, you can attend our seminars, and they're virtual. You can watch our videos. You can read our articles. You can do all kinds of stuff. We have lots of information there on estate planning for those of you who are over 50. But more importantly, I think what you ought to do is visit with one of our retirement planners and help them, and they'll help you, rather, walk through your estate planning. Now, we're not attorneys, so we don't do any legal advice, but we can help you to think through how to organize yourself, you know, the differences between different things, and help you to get an idea of maybe what you should be talking to your estate planning attorney about. And it may be that, we enlighten you in a way that you hadn't thought of. The other thing also, if you come in and visit with one of our retirement planners, is we'll build a retirement plan for you. And we'll do it at no charge or obligation. And that would be fun, right? We'll look at your cash flow, which we talked about earlier in the show. We'll look at whether you can retire or not. We'll help you make Social Security decisions. We'll help you reduce your income taxes if that's possible. We'll look at the gamut of things that we can hopefully help you with when it comes to your retirement planning. And our goal, of course, is for you to go and play and have fun and enjoy your second childhood without parental supervision.
So dear, that's too wonderful to be true.
Well, no, it isn't, Dorothy, because it is true. Okay, so chill out. Go to our website, rpoa.com, and we'll look forward to hopefully helping you out. Wow, Jack is telling me the show's over already. I cannot believe how fast it has gone. Folks, I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have enjoyed making it for you. We'll see you next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Of course not.
Ken Morafe is a controlling owner and investment advisor representative at RPOA, which is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Registration is not an endorsement by securities regulators and does not mean that RPOA has attained a particular level of skill or ability. Because we help clients establish a total return necessary to achieve their retirement goals, achieving that total return is dependent on the success of the invest and protect strategy, predicting market fluctuations for which there is no assurance. This strategy, which relies on a sell signal and a buy signal, is not guaranteed. It may negatively impact long-term total return if it does not perform as anticipated. The sell signal could incorrectly predict a bear market, which is generally accepted as a 20% drop in a market index, and affected investors would not experience gains they would have made by remaining invested. The strategy may not accurately predict a market upturn, causing lesser gains than necessary to maintain the targeted long-term total return. When the sell or protect portion of the strategy is implemented, investors will incur applicable transaction costs and taxable accounts will incur tax effects. The strategy is also subjected to general investment risks described in our form ADV Part 2.